In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday and this Sunday, our Old Testament lesson has been the story of Joseph. And the question that is before us as we hear this story is, will the covenant that God established with Joseph's great-grandfather, his grandfather, and his father, will it prevail? Will at some point along the way, with all the misdoings and mishaps in the chosen people of God with whom the covenant had been made, will it hold up? The story of Joseph is a long story. It is probably one of the longest narrative stories in the Old Testament. And we've just heard two brief snippets of it last Sunday and this Sunday. But up to this Sunday's reading, Joseph, who was one of 12 sons of Jacob, was also Jacob's favorite. And Jacob made no secret about it. In fact, he gave his son a beautiful coat. I happen to have it right here at the altar rail.
Right here. And you are welcome after the service to come up and try it on. Take selfies. Memorialize the occasion. Here it is right here for you to try on.
But the story of Joseph and his brothers doesn't follow a very safe path. Along the way, they're out in a wilderness, and they see Joseph coming to have a message for them or ask a question. They're not sure. But one thing they are sure of is they're going to get rid of him. The first plan is murder. Fratricide may not be a real good thing to do, so they say we'll throw him in a pit here. There's a dry well, and he will starve and suffer death from the heat of this place. But along come some Ishmaelites traveling to Egypt, and these brothers hatch the idea of selling him to the Ishmaelites, which they do, and off Joseph goes. The brothers take the coat, rip it, dip it in the blood of a ram, take it back to Father Jacob, and say to him, "It looks like our dear, dear, dear brother," wink, "our dear brother was killed by a wild beast." And Jacob is distraught beyond measure. The spotlight changes at this point from Canaan, where all this takes place, to the land of Egypt. And the bumps and the detours in the story continue. Joseph is sold to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar is one of the high government officials in Egypt. Joseph is to look over his household and to manage it. Joseph is a very moral, upstanding person. Even when Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, he refuses to go along with such shenanigans. Potiphar's wife can't believe it, and she is furious, and she goes running to Potiphar and saying, this young man that you hired to look over our household has tried to seduce me. Okay, we're going to take a vote now. About how many think Potiphar has to know whether to believe his wife or Joseph? How many of you think he... Raise your hand if you think Potiphar's going to believe the wife. Raise your hand if you think so. All right. How many of you think Potiphar's going to honor Joseph's side of the story? How many of you think that? Okay. Let me just say that Joseph finds himself landed in jail. There he meets a number of cellmates, and they have some conversations because they have plenty of time for that. But two of them come to him and say they have had troubling dreams. They just tell Joseph about these dreams. And Joseph says, I know what they mean, and he tells them what they mean. And as time went on, those dreams came to pass. You'll have to read the story to find out about those dreams, okay? Word gets out that this Joseph can interpret dreams. People start having dreams. It must have been something in the water. Pharaoh of all people, has some terrible dreams, two of them. And he goes to all these different astrologers and so forth. They don't have a clue what these dreams are about. One of Pharaoh's attendants whispers in his ear, there's a man in prison who's apparently is pretty good at interpreting dreams. Pharaoh thinks, well, what have I got to lose? Fetch him, bring him to me, and let's see what happens. And so Joseph appears before the Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells him the true dreams. Without a bit of hesitation, Joseph says that both of those dreams mean the same thing. And this is what they mean. Egypt will have 7 years of bountiful crops, super bountiful, followed by 7 years of famine. And your job, Pharaoh, is to get someone right away to see that these crops are planted, that they're harvested, and see that barns are built to store all of this grain in. I wonder who I will get. And he thinks about it for about 2 seconds. And he says to Joseph, you're the man. Now look what's happened here. From prison to really high authority in Egypt in about a half hour. The story goes along this way, ups and downs. Will the covenant continue? Joseph carries out his duties thoroughly. For 7 years, they harvest plentiful crops, and there are barns everywhere that are bursting, filled with them. And then the severe famine years begin. This famine is so widespread that it includes not only the people of Egypt, but also the people of Canaan, where Joseph's people live. Will the covenant continue? Jacob the dad hears that down in Egypt, they seem to have plenty of food stored up. Maybe they could get something there because they are literally starving. So he sends his 10 sons down to Egypt to see if they can purchase grain. They are graciously received, buy the grain, go back home. But Jacob's cupboard is getting bare again. They've got to go back. And they go back. Now, it is up to Joseph to administer this kind of thing. He knows who they are. He spotted them the minute they came in. There are a lot of twists and turns at this point that I don't have time to go into. But let me just say this. Joseph tells them who he is. I am Joseph. I am your brother, the one you sold into slavery. It is I. But don't you worry, don't you fret, because God sent me here. God sent me here so that you and our families would survive. Ah, it looks like the covenant will continue. And so the people of God's covenant, the people who live in Canaan, now led by Jacob, one of the great men of their history, come to Egypt as foreigners, where they are accepted and welcomed. And Joseph has a special place for them. The place is called Goshen. The promise of God, I will be your God, and you will be my people, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky, as numerous as the grains of sand in the desert. It looks like the covenant is continuing. Why focus on this story? Why? I have two reasons that I wanted to do it, and the first one is this. I wanted to whet your appetite. Whet your appetite so that you could go back and read this in all of its glory, because it is a magnificent story, and is a story of trials and tribulations and deceptions and all that sort of thing. It's better than any soap opera. But it also shows that God stays with God's people so that they can be what God has called them and created them to be, a shining light of God's presence to others, so that they too can be active parts of the family of God. That's what the story is all about, and that is the affirmation of faith that I find in it. That even though our spiritual ancestors wandered far, and a lot of them, they brought these things on themselves, but they also experienced things that were way beyond their control. But it's, as the story is told, it looks like maybe this is going to die out and not be viable. But it doesn't. It continues, and it continues, and it continues. Because you see, God called those ancient people. And then after that, God has called people through the centuries to be part of the covenant, the relationship, the intimate relationship with God. And today, that same call is made to be part of the covenant. Our presiding bishop, Bishop Moore, have any of you heard him preach? I hope, if you haven't, go on YouTube and put his name on there, and it'll come up. And he is a great preacher. I wish I could preach like him. He's just magnificent. But anyway, he reminds us, Episcopalians and other people too, that we are the Jesus people because Jesus is the fulfillment of the ancient covenant. Jesus, through life and ministry and deeds, is the fulfillment of the covenant. If you want to see what it looks like really working, look to Jesus. Jesus says, we are to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. With the life and the love of God active in us, we are to take that light and love out and share it with others. Our call today is to stand against hate, bigotry, aggression, and personal threats in our midst. They are real. You know that, and I do too. They are dangerous, and they can seep in and infect the fabric of our lives and the lives of others. They totally negate the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth. Here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our call is to put our faith into practice. We are a people, are we not, who will persevere in resisting evil and stand with those who are ridiculed, reviled, discriminated against, and marginalized. We are a people, are we not, who will lift up those who are oppressed and rejected. We are not ones to push them further into their misery. We are people, are we not, who will reach out a helping hand to those in any kind of need. We will not ignore them as if they did not matter. We are a people, are we not, who will give and give and give again without counting the cost, because that's what our Lord Jesus has done for us. These are the promises of our baptismal covenant, based on that ancient covenant that goes back thousands of years. Yes, like all of our forebears, the ancient ancestors and those after them, there are twists and turns in the road, and some of them are pretty scary. The road may be stony, and it may be challenging. It may be scary, it may be risky. But we are to take heart. We are to have courage. And I want to tell you something. With feet firmly planted on the covenant God has made, two old prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah and Haggai, those two old prophets who faced the same kind of conditions in their day that we face in ours, troubling issues, assure us. They seem to shout across the millennia to boost us, to build us up, to strengthen our faith with these words which they believed with all their heart. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.